This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How you doing, Eric?
I'm good. How you doing?
This is an episode made just for you.
This is right in my wheelhouse.
This is a music episode. Eric, for people who don't know, is our in-house music expert. It's nice to have one of these around. These stories come up from time to time, and we're swimming in information, and Eric has it all categorized by filing cabinet in his brain.
But this is good because this is also a legal story, so this is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, but I'm not a legal expert, so.
Well, that is true.
So,
you just play one on TV.
So here's the story. Dr. Dre, who's been in the news recently via Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Remember that whole episode? She came out walking. She put up a video of herself walking out of the elevator in Congress to the opening chord progression from Still Dre. And everyone was like, oh, how could Dre allow her to use it? Dre said he didn't allow her to use it. He sent a nasty letter to her through his lawyer, Howard King, and said, I don't support, you know, hateful speech and do your job in Congress. She's now backed down, which is an interesting code in this whole
story.
She had
legally no leg to stand on.
Yeah, so she basically blinked. At first she said, well, I wouldn't post the lyrics to your song. I just like the chord progression because you're a hateful misogynist and an abuser. And then now she said, please be advised, no further use of Mr. Young, Dr. Dre's real name.
Andre.
Copyright will be made by a political committee or via social media outlets she controls. So they've backed off. That saga is over.
But maybe not. There might be hope for her to get rights and permission to use his music.
This is true.
Because the big story is Dr. Dre is selling his music.
Yeah,
there's a lot of legal complexity to this, but you've heard of artists selling off their publishing catalogs, and so publishing is like the rights to the music, the master recording to the actual songs themselves. There's different layers of what you're selling as a songwriter, as a producer. Of course, Dr. Dre is both of those things and an artist, so he has lots of stakes here.
But
he's selling off a giant chunk of his catalog for around $200 million.
It's fascinating. So let's break down a little bit of how this is going to work, because Dr. Dre started his career as a member. I mean, he had some early stuff.
Yeah, World Class Wrecking
NWA,
Crew.
Crew and NWA, where he was a member of a band. So we'll talk about
But also wrote and produced a lot there.
But wrote and produced while there. We'll talk about what kind of rights he could have via in music that was produced as part of that band. Then he had a solo career. The Chronic was one of the biggest albums in rap history, sort of launched gangster rap in the 90s in big ways. So there's those rights. And then he has subsequently been a producer for other artists. So I want to talk about
huge
those three
hits. 50 Cent's In the Club, Mary J. Blige's Family Affair, lots of classic,
some
massive
Kendrick
songs.
Lamar songs.
And he's got his own record label, Aftermath, of course.
That's right.
So he's selling off bits and chunks of things to two different entities here. One is called Shamrock Holdings. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with that. The other one is UMG, that's Universal Music Group. How do we break this down?
So let's start with the three buckets. How would the music rights exist within a band that he was writing and producing songs for NWA? Does Eazy-E, do Ice Cube have rights
he
to
can
certain
sell,
music?
So if Dr. Dre wrote an entire song, if he wrote all the lyrics, the music, if he's the sole songwriter,
right,
then he has the songwriting rights to that. If say
this
you
is
know,
like Paul McCartney and John Lennon owning
sort of
rights to certain Beatles songs, even though Ringo and George were playing on them, they're the songwriters.
They're the songwriters. They get the writing royalties. They have the publishing on that. So if say you know Ice Cube or Eazy-E's estate, like say they were credited as songwriters, then Dre could sell his stake in it,
mm-hmm.
his part of it. He can't sell the other person's. If somebody else wrote the song, he can't sell their part of it.
That's right.
So if you buy Dre's rights to that, you make basically a chunk of his songwriting income there, and you have a say in how that song is used.
That's right.
Which means commercials, which means licensing it out to politicians who maybe want to slow motion walk out of an elevator.
Yes.
So maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, if Shamrock Holdings is open to it, maybe she can get that music back.
Now, legally, there's some wrinkles involved with this. Let's say he's a co-writer with Ice Cube, and you buy just Dre's stake. So on the income side of it, it's easy. You say, the song generated $1 million. You own 50% of the song. You get $500,000. Ice Cube gets the other $500,000. What's a little interesting is the use rights. So if Ice Cube has a different opinion about where this song should be licensed and where it should be used, be it political, be be it a cause he cares about, how it's used in a commercial, whether that's perceived as selling out, then those rights get complicated. Who has veto rights to say, no, don't use it there if they're each 50% holders?
That's
the
why
contracts
his,
will lay that out.
His solo stuff it has more value because you can get that outright.
That's
if he's
right.
the sole songwriter or he has his, you know, his producing credits, if he
There's
owns
no
the publishing. Yeah, and it could be Dre could have had deals. If say he wrote a song with an up-and-coming artist, he could buy out their chunk of it.
That's right. That's
and he
right.
could still have say over it, even if there's another credited writer. So the thing, so this is basically all, a lot of this is passive income to Dre, which
right.
I have to imagine at this point, everything is passive income to Dre.
Yeah.
But so this is like the streaming. If you own part of the publishing, so or if you own the master recordings, when the songs are streamed or licensed out, you make money off that. Mm-hmm. And he will still get his chunk of his royalties, I guess. That's like $10 million a year for him.
Right. We're talking
which is
pennies per click on Spotify, but amounts to $10 million
yeah.
of just passive mailbox money, right?
Because
he has
his
so
music,
many songs.
He's got so many,
so many times.
They're so listened to still.
So what Dre is doing and what all these artists are doing, now you often see, you know, older artists do this.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen selling their catalogs. And the reason they do it is they want the cash up front. And
yeah.
the entities that are buying it say, I've got a whole business plan. I'm going to bring back Bob Dylan songs. I'm going to put them in Mazda commercials. I'm going to put them in
sure.
movies. And they see the $10 million a year, and they say, I could turn that into $20 million a year with my business plan. So I'll give you $200 million up front, and I'll monetize this over time and make $1 billion over 10
yeah.
years. So everyone wins in the deal.
And
the
artist then, especially
money.
Older artists, this sounds kind of morbid, but as you get closer toward the end of your life, then you can decide going ahead what's going to happen to your music after you're gone.
That's right.
There's not legal wrangling and battles in the court. Like, I sold the rights. This isn't, you know, this is taken care of.
And it gives you some cover.
And you get to choose who has it.
You get to choose who has it, but you also get to say, I sold it, so I'm not the sellout. I just got the
yeah.
money. What they're doing with my music is not something I necessarily signed on for. I can't really control it once I lose
Which,
the rights and sell them, so it gives them some cover
We
as
just
well.
Saw that because Neil Young, who sold his catalog,
yes.
was famously very protective of it and never would license it to commercials. Then a cover of one of his songs by Beck was used in an ad that he then complained about.
Yeah.
But you sold it.
Hey, Neil, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah.
So Neil has the cover, but he also loses control, and some
yeah.
artists hate
but
that.
But he also still gets paid.
And he got
so
his money.
So lots of artists, this is the kind of the trend now. So the hierarchy of who sold for what. And again, this is because there's publishing, there's the master recordings.
Yeah, before we get to that, tell me what a master recording
is. So that
is
the song
the
itself.
Holy grail.
That
yes.
is the song. So if you own the publishing, you could license it out, like a cover of it for a film soundtrack or a commercial or something, but you don't own the actual song itself.
Right.
If you buy the master recording and the publishing, that's the full deal there, you have everything. You have final
that's
say.
It. And that's the most expensive
And some
expensive
artists will
to buy.
Sell, they might sell their publishing but keep the masters. They might sell the masters but keep the publishing. It's
right.
And that can affect, obviously, the value of it. But so people who did everything, Bob Dylan sold everything.
There you
his
go.
Songwriting, his recordings. $500 million.
Unbelievable amount of money. Now, people are too young to appreciate Bob Dylan, but he has a trove of
yeah,
songs
he
that he's written.
He's very
Not
prolific.
Only things he's sung all along the Watchtower, one of the most famous Jimi Hendrix songs is a Bob Dylan written
yeah,
song.
Yeah, Blowing in the Wind. Also, Bruce Springsteen, your favorite, $500 million, $500 million for Springsteen and Dylan. They're the top of the heap there.
All you really want out of Springsteen's catalog is a Manfred Mann song anyway. You want
Blinded
by
the
Light.
No, anyway. $300 million. And this was a nice package deal here. You got Phil Collins' solo career.
The best.
Genesis.
I'd pay $1 billion for that alone.
And a little bit of Mike and the Mechanics, because Mike Rutherford was a member of Genesis. So $300 million, you get Phil Collins and Genesis.
So just a little sweetener on top, you get Living Years.
Yeah,
from
you get
Mike and the
you
Mechanics.
Get Silent Running.
Just like Living.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
Some other people, huge chunks. David Bowie, $250 million. Sting and The Police combined, $250
million. Yes.
Of younger artists, more recent, because the younger artists are starting to get in on this now. Justin Bieber, $200 million.
Unbelievable.
Which is a very valuable catalog. Other people, a little bit less of current artists. Imagine Dragons, 100 million.
Okay.
David Guetta, the DJ, 100 million. Jason Aldean, Country Star, 100 million. Some that kind of surprised me a bit. ZZ Top. What do you think their entire catalog went for?
Oh, I'd give ZZ Top 200 million.
50.
50?
50
what
million.
A bargain. We should have bought it. But,
you got Come 50 million. Yeah, you do 49,999,000.
We'll
I still
can't.
100,000 I couldn't
do.
Yeah. The one that
Sharp
shocked me. This one bothered me. You'll be a little upset about this. An artist, it's their entire catalog up to 1994, which is the bulk of what you want.
Okay.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, wow.
Huey Lewis,
by the way, in the 80s. I mean,
gigantic
albums,
Power of Love from,
yeah.
Back to the Future. Yeah.
I would say Huey Lewis probably getting at least 150.
$20 million.
That's insane to me.
I would think just the Power of Love or I Want a New... One of those songs, I would say 20. But
and the songs are so commercial, too. They were used in movies, and there's a high degree of nostalgia for them. They are sort of timeless classics.
But, you know,
I can't imagine.
Huey's streaming numbers, not that great. But I think he's a couple of commercials away from people discovering his catalog.
Let me point out one thing that... So when Bob Dylan sells his catalog, you get this huge, you know, number, like 500 million.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is Bob Dylan's basically done. I mean, he still writes, he still collects awards, but he's in his 80s now, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and yeah, he does still do albums, but those albums are not... Nobody's going to pay $20 million for a brand new Bob Dylan album.
They're vanity projects.
It's the catalog you want, and it's the unreleased tracks from the 60s, 70s, even up into the 80s. That's the stuff you want.
But Imagine Dragons is still a band that produces. So when they sell for $100 million,
well,
they
sold
say,
up
like,
to right now. Anything going forward is theirs.
That's right. So they could do this again. I mean, we look at this in like baseball. When someone signs a $100 million contract, sometimes it's when they're 35, and then that's their last contract. It's the $100 million till the end. They retire a very wealthy person. Some of them are good enough to, in their 20s, sign one of those contracts, and by the time they turn 30 after a 10-year contract, they're really in their prime and build out a whole new $500 million contract. That may be the case with Imagine Dragons. Imagine
Dragons Justin Bieber. I mean,
young.
$200 million.
Bieber's another one.
Sure, but he's still cranking out hits.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's a... You know, everything up till now and going forward, or if you just got up to a certain point and everything after is his again?
It's unclear. I mean, he now has retirement money. There's no pressure to produce in the same way once you monetize the bulk
which he's
of
not
your
even
catalog.
30 yet, which how great is that?
But he's got generational wealth. He's married to a beautiful woman. He may just sort of slow down, and that could be an indication that he's like, I just want a pot of cash and to slow down. Or it may be, I'm done with that, and I'm going to produce my next $500 million. I want that next challenge. So it's interesting to me the economics of it, given the age of the various people on this list.
And for some older artists, this is the real cash-in, because if they'd had a deal, say, you know, if somebody was big, you know, in their teens and 20s, in the 70s and 80s, 60s even, the record label, depending on the deal they had at the time, lots of these artists don't own their master recordings.
Right.
They don't always own their publishing. And so if you, you know, crank out hits for decades and you make nothing off of it because the label's getting paid, when you get older, then you can renegotiate and buy back your catalog, and then you can sell it. And so some of these people are just cashing in their 70s.
That's right.
They weren't making a ton of money all along.
Now, I want to circle back to this big issue with Marjorie Taylor Greene, because the timing, look, these deals are so complicated with Shamrock and UMG.
You think
they were
Dre
being
set
negotiated
this up?
Beforehand. I mean,
yeah,
there's no
obviously this didn't happen
sort of
in
coincidental.
A week.
However, it raises an interesting issue. He was very upset and he tissed when Marjorie Taylor Greene used his music. It went viral, and then he sort of sent letters saying, "Stop doing that." He'll lose that right to do that, assuming Still Dre is one of the songs he's selling and the use
I'm
of,
sure it is.
They're buying the good songs. So,
yeah, if you're paying $200 million, you're getting that song.
You're getting the good songs. Okay, so now if Nothing But a G Thing sort of plays on, you know, George Santos's Twitter or something.
Nothing But a George Thing.
Nothing But a George Thing, exactly. Yeah. Let's say he co-ops it. Now Dre, assuming these deals close, can't really say with any forcefulness, "How dare you," but he'll still say it. So here's what will happen is George Santos will use the song. Dre doesn't own the rights to it, but all the news outlets, when it's used, will say, "Dre, what do you think of this?" Because they're not going to call Shamrock and say, "Hey, Shamrock, what do you think of this? You're the title holder of Nothing But a G Thing." They'll call Dre. And what Dre will say is, "I hate it." He'll say whatever
I don't
he
approve
wants.
Of this.
I don't approve of this.
But
How dare he? That's my art, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's the
but
thing.
He has the right to stop him now.
The Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. So when he sent the legal cease and desist, he could do that.
Yes.
And she had to take it down legally because he owns the copyright.
Right.
And she technically violated his copyright claim. When he doesn't own that copyright, if UMG or Shamrock or whoever is like, "Sure, you can do it."
Right. Now, contractually, he can try to protect this. Is that he can say, in a deal that he's negotiating with Shamrock and UMG, "You may not use these, you may not sell these to a political action committee or something of that nature." But anytime you write in a contract you can't use it in this way. All you do is open up avenues to say
you're
okay,
devaluing.
You're devaluing what they're paying. You're going to get less money because you've now closed off an income stream, and you're also allowing opportunities to say, well, I'll sell it to a person rather than a political action committee. You create ways when you paper it for people to work around it. That's what I'm sort of trying to say is like, okay, no political action committee, so I won't sell it to the PAC, but I'll sell it directly to George Santos or something like that, or license it directly. It's hard to control what he can try.
Yeah, he can try that, I suppose.
But he will lose a lot of control
if he wanted to. But
his value.
If you're the one buying this, you don't want to still give him some sort of say. The point is you're buying the rights to do what you want with it.
Free and clear, we call it. When you buy a house, you want to buy it free and clear of all claims, liens, and encumbrances. And that's just legalese to mean I don't want to have to fight any battles. You give me everything you own, and if I get sued down the road, I won't come after you. It's just my problem now, and it's no longer your problem. That's why sales have that language.
Well, that's what we say. It's like with a house, the metaphor of that. Like if you're buying an artist catalog, I'm like, yeah, but this, and this. Right. That's like, well, you can buy this house, but my uncle still gets to live in the basement.
Correct.
No?
It starts to look more like you're leasing the rights to the music rather than buying them. And ownership is a big deal. And that's why, even though these deals are happening more and more frequently, they're momentous, right? Because you are truly handing over your life's work. And artists have big egos. Artists have control. A lot of them are control freaks. They really want to control their art and not allow people to pervert the meaning in any way. They also want a lot of money.
Yeah.
So this is the collision of those two things.
And that's the funny thing with this, too, with these older artists like Bob Dylan, these people that came up in the 60s and 70s, is, you know, back then, the idea of an artist licensing their music for a commercial was seen as such a sellout, pathetic thing. Like, fans used to judge artists. Now, especially because they can't sell CDs and, you know, there's not physical media being sold.
Yes.
Nobody judges artists for doing commercials and...
This is one of the biggest transformations of guys in Eric and I's generation. And watch the movie Reality Bites if you're out there.
Yeah,
Reality
they were Bites sellouts.
The central to the movie is the concept of selling out. And now it seems so quaint because it's no longer sort of uncool to sell the rights to your things.
No.
You see Travis Scott doing McDonald's crossovers.
Because artists now are like, again, they're not making money off of selling music.
Right.
Like not traditionally the way it used to be. They make money by licensing it to McDonald's. So get your money, get paid.
That's right.
Nobody, good for you.
That element of
but
Gen
it used
X
to be,
is dead.
And especially, but like for boomers, you know, like that whole, the hippie generation and fighting the man, like Bob Dylan was the protest song guy.
Yes.
And then to sell all of his life's work. But why not?
Yes. Even later, though, could you imagine a guy like Kurt Cobain doing a Burger King commercial? It's impossible to wrap your head around because they were so countercultural. They were saying, we're the voice of the disaffected.
Yeah.
I'm smelly. I wear a sweater.
I'm smelly.
And now it's like, it's cool. It's
get paid.
Cool to
get your
go
money.
To McDonald's and buy a Cactus Burger. He loses no credibility.
No,
in
it,
fact,
it makes
he raises
them, they look like
status.
Savvy business people.
It's nuts. And so for young people, this is like, oh, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't it ever be cool to sell to McDonald's? To us, we're straddling these two generations where it's like, whoa, that's a weird development.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to sort of lay that out, but we've given you a big sort of slug of information about contract law, and I you know, listen, these are the stories that like sort of really fascinate Eric and I, and we wanted to sort of share them with you.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Anyway, see you guys tomorrow.